Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, have you seen today's intro? I've been looking all over for it, and I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Check inside my Hall & Oates CD. That's where I keep all the very important documents. All right, it's the beginning of a new week.
Mm-hmm.
We are into the middle of February now.
Yes.
And it's a good time for us maybe to take a pause, try to get caught up a little bit on some of the listener correspondence that has been just piling in, Patrick.
Totally.
And we've been ignoring because, you know, that month of January is all dedicated those listener calls about favorite music from 2019. So now we can get to some other things and try to get caught up in that. And we like to showcase the listeners as much as possible. Right?
Totally. Yeah, we've been real busy, as you guys know, with January. I've been spending a lot of time watching the Indian Super League, which I can recommend to anyone. It's a soccer league.
Yes.
So check it
out. Okay. Now, I want to ask you something about this now that you bring this up.
Indian Super League.
Let's introduce ourselves, though. This is Rockin' the Suburbs, not Rockin' the Pitch. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We are going to talk about music here in a minute, but as regular listeners will know, Patrick here is a big soccer fan.
I like it.
And he's been, you know, turning me on to soccer a little bit. I've been trying to embrace some of its charms. And
me and Bill Horn have been working on you.
And I've come around quite a bit, I think, a lot of it. The only thing I just really still can't get behind, and I had a little Twitter argument with somebody recently about this, is the scoreless tie. I hate the scoreless tie.
Right, it is frustrating.
It actually makes me angry that I spent 2 hours watching a sporting event in which the result is the same as the beginning of the event. Like, if it didn't happen, we'd be in the same position, right?
And for the Italians, many Italians that I've met, they have a saying in Italy, 0-0 is the perfect result because no goals were allowed and your defense was perfect. But that's an Italian mindset, something different. I'll tell you, though, this is a fairly new league in India called the Indian Super League.
Okay, and that's where we are.
They have a contract with ESPN, and so it's very fun. I will say the level of quality is not up to, let's say, Barcelona, Real Madrid, but there's a lot of players who've played, you know, around the world, and there's a lot of Indian players, and they're kind of trying to build this league up. It's sponsored by DHL, and it's real commercial. Like, a DHL delivery driver runs on the pitch at the beginning and opens up a DHL package with the match ball in it and kind of like puts it on the field. But there's a lot of excitement in the games. Lots of goals.
Oh, this is
lots
for me.
Of yellow cards. Yeah, exactly. There was a 7-3 game the other day. Fantastic.
Cool.
So, and they also have this great Twitter campaign that says, "Let's football." So it's a lot of fun to watch. And the other thing is, it's on pretty much every morning at 9 a.m. on ESPN Plus.
Yes.
So if you're like me and you work from home, you can put that on your TV and be entertained by the Indian Super League.
I've seen it on the weekends because I have ESPN Plus, and I've noticed it's on there, and I've kind of just clicked on it and watched it briefly. I noticed that, you know, first thing I noticed was like it was not nearly as well attended as the like European leagues
Stuff
like that you watch, right?
Its stadiums are pretty much half empty the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a growing kind of a league.
But not knowing much about soccer, I wasn't sure if it was even worth my time, but you're saying it's fun.
It's very entertaining.
Okay,
as long as you're not expecting, you know, Ronaldo against Messi quality football here, you're going to have a great time watching the Indian Super League.
All right, this is good to know.
It's really fun. Yeah. And apparently there's a huge, or I guess, I don't know much about history, but there was obviously Britain was a huge influence on India at some point, right?
Of course.
So there's still a big British population over there, and a lot of them apparently follow the Indian Super League as well. So they have British commentators, and it's fun.
Yes. Isn't that why cricket is the national sport of India?
I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, that's a sport. A whole other obsession we'll get into. I've never watched it, so keep it away from
me.
Get into it. Yeah.
Too, I think. But anyway, we're getting off topic.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, all right. Indian Super League.
Indian Super League.
We'll get into that. Let's move away from that for a moment here. We're going to talk specifically on this episode about correspondence we got about something called the Concerts That Got Away. Mm-hmm. So this was Mike Snyder.
Ah, right.
Right.
I remember
this topic, right?
Episode 738.
So it was one of his patron episodes, and he wanted to talk about concerts that that we missed for whatever reason and regret that later, right? All right. So, of course, we got a lot of good stories about that. So many good stories, in fact, that we're going to split this correspondence up over 2 days of episodes.
Cool.
All right. So let's start here with a call.
Hi, guys. Niklas from Sweden here on the topic of concerts that got away. This one is not about me, but my cousin, actually. He lives in the south of Sweden, so we live about 8-9 hour car drive apart, so we don't see each other every week, so to speak. His name is Jonas. Not a Weezer fan, as far as I know, but still. But he is a fan of Bruce Springsteen. And he bought tickets in 2003 for the summer, for the midsummer, actually, concert that Bruce were giving in Gothenburg. Now, Bruce almost wrecked the stadium in 1985 when he played there for a couple of nights. I'm sure Jesse Jackson knows all about this. The stadium almost was destroyed because people were jumping up and down so much. Anyway, he's come back to Gothenburg a number of times since then, and I've actually seen him there twice. Great concerts. But back to my cousin. He, like anyone of us, likes a drink, and he was out partying with his wife, his wife's cousin, and her husband. So four of them, and probably a few more. The wife's cousin and Jonas, they play in the same cover band, actually. Jonas plays the bass and the accordion, and Magnus, he plays the drums. That's a sidetrack. Anyways, but when they play at parties with the band, they always make sure that they play on the accordion, Jonas does, or someone else picks up the acoustic guitar and plays some Snaps songs. Now, Snaps is hard liquor. And they make sure everyone has four or five Snaps before the main course is finished. So then everyone's in a happy mood. So there you get some context to the party level. So they've been out partying for a night in, I think, January or February somewhere. And got back to his house with his wife. His wife went to bed. And Jonas thought, there's been quite a few houses that have been broken into lately. Some of the neighbors had some visitors, burglars. He got this brilliant idea that he should hide any valuables in the house. And the most valuable he could think of was, of course, the Bruce Springsteen tickets. So he hid the tickets, went to bed, and the next day he didn't know what he had done the day before or the night before. He thought to himself, I did something. What did I do? And took a few hours, and he didn't want to ask his wife because he had a feeling it wasn't very good. And then he recalled, maybe I should go see where the Springsteen tickets are. And they were not in the drawer where they used to be. But he had completely forgotten where he had hidden the tickets. Didn't tell the wife, and the weeks passed, and another couple of weeks went by, and every time he was alone in the house, he would look for the tickets, and he would rip the place apart. He'd go through the CD collection, see if they'd hidden it there or somewhere else. So, a few more weeks, and he thinks to himself, I either find the tickets, or I'll just have to break the news to my wife. So when she was away, he went through the CD collection again. And this time he was really thorough. He picked out the record and the case, everything. The lyrics, the notes, everything. And when he got to the REM record, Automatic for the People, he found the tickets. He had put them there very carefully, but now he had found them and the tickets were there again. And with a couple of months left to the concert, he could breathe again. So, fast forward to midsummers, and they were planning to take the car to ours in Dalarna, which is then about 8-9 hours away by car, to celebrate a proper midsummer. This is the center of midsummer celebrations in this country. And it basically is dancing, eating, drinking, having fun. And the Midsummer's Eve is always on a Friday. The Midsummer's Day is on the Saturday. And Bruce were playing two nights in Gothenburg on Midsummer's Day, on the Saturday and the Sunday. And my cousin and his friends were going for the Sunday concert. So they came up, we had lots of fun, quite a few drinks. However, he did not hide the tickets this time. So on Sunday morning, they left for the concert. The concert was in the evening, of course. They got to Gothenburg and they were sat outside in lovely weather, having a drink, just enjoying themselves. And then, yeah, an hour or so before the concert, they decided to go in and happily show the tickets to the steward at the turnstiles and just being met by, you should have been here yesterday, guys. And my cousin Why the long face, you know? Pardon? These tickets say Saturday, not Sunday. But somehow the steward could see they really thought they had tickets for Sunday and let them in. Now, they had to sit next to their seats in the stairway, which couldn't happen today with all the security surrounding concerts and other happenings. So there you go. The concert that nearly got away twice. One, two, cheers. Three. Bye-bye.
That's the best story. I mean, we were literally laughing very hard during that.
Yes, that's a crazy story,
it really
huh?
It is. It's really, really crazy. Yeah. The things you do when you think you're doing something smart. you really need to ask yourself if you're really doing something smart.
There you go. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add to that. We've all been there, but I've never with the stakes quite that high,
no.
I don't think.
God, no. I mean, I've put summons and court orders and things I couldn't find, but nothing as serious as Springsteen tickets. Yeah, that's fantastic. But at least he knew where his most valuable things are, so he knew where to look. Like, I got to go to the REM CD finally. That's really
well,
fun.
Well, finally, yes. He finally found them. And then, but then how about that?
Crazy.
Even after all that, he still almost missed the show. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other takeaway I had from that was I'm not familiar with this 80s experience in Sweden with Springsteen, and I guess people jumping up and down that it almost broke the stadium or something like that.
I didn't know that. But that's crazy. It sounds like the mid-60s with the Stones or the Beatles or something like that.
Well, it reminds me of RFK Stadium.
Yeah, exactly.
Here in D.C. That apparently that was the experience when you go to a Redskins game or if you were in the upper deck that you could feel.
The whole stadium was moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Wild, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that, Nicholas.
Oh, that was a great
Nicholas
story.
Nicholas Nygaards, everyone,
thank
from
you so much,
Falun,
Nicholas.
Sweden. So there you go.
Awesome.
All right. Let's get to a Facebook comment here from Mike Wagner, who says that in regards to a concert that got away, he said, all my friends went to David Bowie in the Summit in Houston on the Sirius Moonlight tour. I was getting ready to start my freshman year in college, and everyone said I needed to go to some camp for freshmen and that it would help. It didn't help. I hated it, and I miss David Bowie, and I hate all those losers. F them. Yes, I'm still angry. There's Mike.
Let it out, Mike.
There you go. All right, let me read this long one here from Mark Neese in Michigan. This was a Facebook comment, and Mark lists some concert regrets.
Okay.
Okay. November 1986. A friend on my dorm floor asked if I wanted to see Fishbone at the tiny club Rick's in East Lansing, Michigan. It was a weeknight, and I was trying to be studious, so I turned down the chance. My friend ended up playing billiards with members of Fishbones after the show.
Oh, duh!
Summer 1987, I turned down the chance to see... Let me just say here, when it starts with turn down the chance,
yeah.
Maybe you should rethink your modus operandi here, Mark, and say yes to things. Anyway, summer 1987, turned down the chance to see New Order and Echo and the Bunnymen and Gene Loves Jezebel at Pine Knob. I'm not sure why, but often this involved financial considerations. All right, I get it.
I understand that.
He said, I don't really care about Gene Loves Jezebel. You're not alone. But wish I could have seen New Order and Echo in their prime.
Oh, yeah.
He says, I finally saw Echo 2 years ago, and they can still bring it. So that was consolation.
Okay. There you
go. Next one, he says, he regrets never seeing Nirvana, never seeing The Replacements.
Well, yeah.
Although seeing Tommy Stinson this year almost made up for that, he said. Then he has a footnote about seeing Echo and the Bunnymen in 2017. They were at Meadowbrook in suburban Detroit. That same evening, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were at Pine Knob. That tore me up, but I convinced myself I'd see Petty next time around.
See, now that's an interesting thing. When two events you really want to go to occur on the same night and it's physically impossible to do both.
That's right. Yep. And then there's one last one here from Mark. He says his adult years regret. He had tickets to see the Meat Puppets at a small club called Pyramid Scheme in Grand Rapids, Michigan, November 2011 on a weeknight. We dropped off our kids, then ages 6 and 10, at my in-laws with the understanding we'd pick them up that evening. Big mistake. Grand Rapids is over an hour away from our house in suburban Lansing on a good day, and it was snowing this night.
Uh-oh.
Though we made it to Grand Rapids fine, there were two or three opening acts that played until well past nine. With the snow unrelenting and the reality that the Meat Puppets wouldn't take the stage until 10 at the earliest, we had to leave without even seeing them. I still haven't gotten over that.
That hurts. That definitely hurts.
Yeah. I had a kind of similar experience to that. Not quite to this magnitude, because I saw some really cool stuff with this. But let me just tell you real quickly. So when our, let me think here. I think this was... This must have been before the boy was born. This must have been just when Mackenzie was, she would have been in preschool. Katie and I got tickets and we wanted to see this show in Louisville. The local NPR station, we had like more than one public radio station in Louisville, like all operated under the same umbrella. But one was like the news station and one was like the music station.
Right.
And so they would do, it was like an alternative music station. Every year they would host this big conference of public radio program directors, music program directors, and they'd all come to Louisville and go there. The guy who ran it was this guy, Dan Reed, who now does the public radio in Philadelphia.
Right. Okay.
Right. Where World Cafe is and all that. He moved this conference to Philadelphia. Anyway.
I got it.
The point is they'd have this big conference and they'd always have a big show and the public could get tickets to go to this show and it would be multi-acts on the one stage in the Louisville Palace, I think it was.
Okay.
And, you know, each act would play sort of a short set.
Yeah.
But you'd get like boom, boom, boom. Well, this one that we went to, we got to see Paul Westerberg solo.
Wow.
Did just like, you know, solo acoustic kind of thing. Patti Smith was one of them. Sonic Youth.
Wow.
Was there.
This is a great package show.
And so we dropped off our daughter with some friends to go see this show. And there was one band, though, that I really wanted to see. I mean, those are all great.
Yeah.
I mean, great. Incredible. Don't get me wrong. That was an awesome night.
Yeah.
But the band that I was just really curious about seeing, because it just live, I just thought this would be really something, was Polyphonic Spree.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because
yeah,
don't they have like
50 members?
50 people or something like that?
Yeah, and it's like a choir.
That, I was like kind of really excited about that.
Yeah.
I was like, because that seemed like a great live experience to see Polyphonic Spree. Well, they were like the last one, and it was running late, as you can imagine, a show like this going, and I'm watching the the watch and everything and the time and everything, and I was like, we can't leave her with these friends of ours, like too late, so we got to bail, right?
Yeah.
So we had to leave before that happened. So
the babysitter call, yeah, no doubt about it. Man, that would have been cool.
So there you go. Yeah, it was cool.
Well,
so
like
I'm
the,
not like
well, it's like the old, they used to do those package shows back in the 60s, right, where you'd have everybody come out and play, you know, their 15-minute slot or whatever.
The Oneaters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very cool.
Okay. Let's get back here. Do you want to read one here? We got sure. one from Tug Baker.
Tug Baker from South Carolina. I'd love to read this. His concert that got away. In the summer of 2002, I was doing an internship at TVT Records in New York City. Very cool, right? Not really. TVT Records was pretty far removed from the heyday of Pretty Hate Machine or even Do the Collapse from a few years before. The person I was interning for didn't realize she was going to have a summer intern, so she had nothing for me to do. One week in June, she was on vacation, so I was just supposed to sit at her desk and answer the phone and tell people she was on vacation. One day, I came in to find everyone buzzing about a David Bowie show the night before at Roseland Ballroom that everyone had gone to. He played Low and Heathen all the way through. Since I was tucked away in an office all day and not on the main floor, no one had mentioned it to me. I never did get around to seeing Bowie. Wow, that's
how about
a bummer.
That?
Yeah, he had nothing to do, too. That's really bad.
That's a killer. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like everyone orders lunch, but nobody checked with me.
That's right.
It's lunch.
All right, then lastly on today's show, we have a Facebook comment here from Peter Nordgren of Cornucopia, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. He says, my concert that got away, being up here by the border, I'm a Guess Who fan. The border, the Canadian border, yeah. Right? I'm a Guess Who fan. Since their 1969 to 75 heyday, various Guess Who ghost bands have toured, mostly without Burton Cummings, Randy Bachman, or Kurt Winter. Mm. Thus, I haven't paid much attention to them. But with the release of the double live CD set Running Back Through Canada in 2000, I learned that in the late 90s, a kind of Guess Who supergroup had been put together for a tour, including Bachman and Cummings. Winter had passed. Furthermore, this iteration had played a festival just outside my wife's hometown in the Eau Claire, Wisconsin area. I recommend the CD on which they also play a few of Bachman's BTO songs and some real rarities. It would have been quite a show, but I missed it by 5 years. Mm. Okay, so that was one where he wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst.
And then came to learn later that it would have been a really cool show had he gone.
That can be painful. Yeah, especially if you... you know, really loved that band for a long time. So, yeah, that's definitely interesting. The Guess Who are kind of a cool band. You know, you got to give them some credit. But, man, they did some cool stuff in the early, mid-70s.
I agree.
Yeah, they really did.
I think they're a bit overlooked.
Yeah, but I think so, too.
I think they did some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I agree. They were really young, too. They were like teenagers.
It's an interesting story.
Started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't confuse them with Grand Funk Railroad. Two different bands completely.
That's right.
Yeah, Mark Farner is in Grand Funk Railroad.
I also think if you're a Randy Bachman, you know, fan at all or listen to BTO or whatever, I think you'll be surprised if you don't know the Guess Who stuff very well. I mean, everybody, I guess, knows American Woman.
Yeah,
stuff like
some
that,
of
the
hits.
But, you know, you listen to that stuff, it has more soul, than BTO, right?
Yeah, I think they once had an album called Wheatfield Soul, so kind of Canadian soul, prairie soul. It's good stuff.
Very good. For all those stories.
Thanks,
we're going to read more stories tomorrow about concerts.
I can't wait. These are fun.
That people missed.
Yeah.
sad tales.
Sad tales.
Okay. All right. And with that, you know, if you have any stories yourself anymore, we can always do another episode down the road on these. These are good stuff. So you can go to our our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. All those are at Suburbs Pod. You can leave comments there. You can email rock@suburbspod.com, or you can call and leave a message, 612-440-1984.
You
know, and another thing people do, like you heard Nicklaus there, is they record themselves like on a voice memo,
yes,
and then just email us that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another option as well.
Yeah, just pop the cassette in the mail and send it to us.
And speaking of the Guess Who, we should also mention that another band that actually back in the day sometimes got confused with the Guess
that's
Who
true.
Was The Who.
The Who, that's right.
This is a true story.
Yeah, it is.
They, in fact, I only learned this recently, that the reason why they started covering Shaken All Over was because the Guess Who covered it first,
yeah,
and people would come to Who shows and be upset that they didn't play Shaken All Over.
Right.
And so then they just said, well, hell, we'll cover it too.
Sure.
They didn't write it. No. We could do it.
Yeah.
And it's on Live at Leeds, and it's awesome.
Yep. Yeah. They did a great version of
it.
Yeah.
So anyway, The Who. We're going to talk about The Who in our own live at Vienna, Virginia.
That's right.
At Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia, Wednesday, March 4th. We're going to talk about The Who. We're going to count down great songs. We're going to have a special guest. We're going to have some giveaways and some trivia and all kinds of stuff. And you can come to that show.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a live podcast taping. As I mentioned, it's on March 4th at Jam and Java. Go to jamandjava.com for ticket information, or go to suburbspod.com and we'll point you in the right direction there.
And don't let this be the show you regret missing.
There you go.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's right. You'll regret it for a long time. And then like in 5 years on this podcast, you'll call in and say, I regretted missing your live show.
That's
Don't
right.
do that.
You want to be there. And you'll get a chance to actually be part of the show, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you want to be there for the live thing. You don't just be like, oh, I'll just listen to it later. No.
Yeah.
You want to be there in the audience.
Yeah. You'll be on the show. You'll
That's
help
right.
create it.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool. All right. Let's get out of here. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Just say here, when it starts with turn down the chance,
yeah,
we maybe you should rethink your modus operandi, uh-huh, here, Mark, and say, uh-huh, yes to things.